We'll celebrate their baptism today, and yeah, I want you to tell your stories, but listen well. There is a little bit of accent here. They come from South Africa. But it's a story that, yeah, we want to celebrate together. And so, yeah, boldly come and share his story in you and through you. Yeah, come and share with us.
Morning. I think it's more struggling with English than a bad accent, but... Okay, so getting the opportunity to share my testimony of how Jesus has led us to Canada and now in Canada is not only a privilege, but is part of the promise I made God that I will do it every time I get the opportunity. I grew up in a normal Christian house, church just like this one, also believing in God the Father, Jesus and the Holy Spirit. Jesus is our only salvation. We cannot earn it. It's given to us 100% through God's grace. Parents that were wonderful examples, they showed me how you shine your light for God. And saw myself as a good kid. I could always argue it in the right way that I'm better than that guy and not that naughty. So I thought I was not too bad off. Hearing the odd testimony of people, always thinking, yo, that was a great testimony, and wondering what is mine. I grew up knowing Jesus, went to church almost every Sunday, read my Bible twice a day, prayed just as a good kid is brought up. But almost sometimes feeling guilty, I'm doing all the stuff, but where's my great story? Yet, when me and Stefani was already married, she and our pastor back home decided they're going to have like barbecues for young adults with a Bible theme in it. Because we were quite playing sports still at that stage, and had a lot of young adults that we had contact with, and Stefani thought this is a nice place to get the Bible in as well. And I was better explaining why I thought it would not work than trying to get it done. The first barbecue was a huge success, and the next one was going to quickly get a vote, get someone to lead a Bible study that they now want to hold each week. And my first thought was, that's a great idea, but are the farmers really going to have time to drive 40, 50 kilometers once a week to come to a Bible study? Luckily for me, my cousin from the U.S., she and her husband was in missionary, and they were there that week, and so that's easy. First Bible study is sorted, because at that next meeting, I got chose to lead the Bible study, and I'm the guy that's thinking, oh, I don't know if this is going to work. So luckily my cousin was there, they handled the first Bible study, and little did I know that night at the end of the Bible study, my cousin's husband said he wants us to pray two people on our own little spot. And he prayed for me, and I didn't know it at the time, but the next morning when I woke up, something changed inside. Suddenly I was 100% on board with the Bible study. I was not stopping there. We started an informal church meeting every other Saturday for the kids of the little rural town. We just go crazy for God, praising Him with local kids, sometimes up to 200 kids per night. We just sing basically and put up little skits, and suddenly the fire was burning. I realized that even though I was going to church, reading my Bible, being not too bad guy in my eyes, and having a solid religion, I did not have the solid relationship that Jesus wants of us. And even now, still going through some seasons like we all do, sometimes with stronger fires than other weeks, Jesus is always 100% with me. Our church and parents can do everything right. They can put everything in place, all the structures there, and bring us to the water. But if we do not make the decision to drink, that's on us. So that's just the first part. That's like the intro. So having Jesus in my heart sometimes means doing stuff that I never thought I would be able to do. Never mind even thinking about if I will have the abilities to do it. Say like leaving everything I know and love and go 16,000 kilometers away to Canada. I will start with a bit of background. We lived on a farm in South Africa, a dairy farm. Third generation dairy farm, farming together with my dad, with around about 700 livestock and 400 of them in milk. Around July 2015, we came to the crossroad, either to expand the whole lot, or we have to sell the dairy. And to expand, we were basically going to use all of my dad's retirement money. And in the current situation of political and economical back there, that would have been suicide. So we decided to sell the dairy part of the farm, and that was pretty much the hardest decision of our lives. Me and Stefani started exploring other options and opportunities abroad. So many people are doing it, so it was on the table. But really, we did want to make something work back home where we can take care of mom and dad and for us as a family. So begin August, with the grace of God, we sold our whole dairy and all the equipment without making a single phone call or placing an ad. We basically told the guy that did the nutrition on the dairy farm that we're thinking of maybe we should stop the dairy. He told a fellow farmer, and a week after that, he showed up on the farm, did not even see half of our cattle, and he wrote us a check for more than market price. So that was the first miracle of many to come. Few weeks after we sold, the cattle industry, especially the dairy industry, completely collapsed. Dairy farmers was literally slaughtering their dairy cows. In this crazy time, I got a call from a guy that got my details from a website where I registered or researched Canada for, this was one of our options. And he said we can immediately get express entry, get immediate PR, so that sounded like quite a good option. But we did not want to leave the farm, we wanted to stay there. And seeing that mom and dad was attacked by four armed men 3 months before that, and both of them were nearly killed, that was not seeming like the best option to now leave them there. Sometimes stuff happens. Dairy sold, we're starting to load cattle, and me and she, we do not have a definite plan. For the first time in my life, I did not have a definite plan where I'm going with my family. So suddenly, few possibilities came across the table. We started getting a few job offers, and we had two plans that maybe could have worked on the farm. And like we all do, I started praying, like smoke coming out of my head, please God, tell me, what should we do? Really hoping for an answer, but never really got an answer out of scripture. We all hope for that. I wasn't fully confident that that is going to happen. A few days later, reading my normal scripture at night before bed, out of Hebrews 11, God gave me the green light to go to Canada. So it's worded a little bit different in Afrikaans Bible, but the English version says the same thing. In Hebrews 11, verse 15 and 16, it said, if they had been thinking of the country they had left, they would have had an opportunity to return. Instead, they were longing for a better country, a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared a city for them. So in 2013, I went to New Zealand for 6 months to see how they do the dairy industry, to get some tips on how to make ours work. And that is what I read in verse 16. We had the opportunity to go to a foreign country. We had the opportunity to come back, return to home, and be with the family through the selling of the dairy, through the whole farm attack that mom and dad had to survive. So that was verse 15 for me. And then God is not ashamed to be called our God, and he's prepared a new city for me. So that was my word that, okay, we're heading Canada, is now the option we're going to take. After reading this, immediately went to Stefani, told her what I read, said to her that I think that is God telling us to go to Canada. And was expecting her to say, well, yeah, no, we're not going. And are you sure you read right? Is it not just because we're in this weird place of our lives? Maybe you're reading stuff that's not standing there. And the same person that 2 years earlier told me, if there's one place I will not go, it's Canada. There's too much ice and cold there. She told me, if you believe it's God's voice, claim it as your promise. Me and Shani will follow you wherever you will go. She obviously did not know what she was in for. So I just did that. Because God knew I was going to need more convincing, that leaving mom and dad behind after what happened to them, I still am a little bit hard-headed when it comes to stuff like that. That Sunday, all the confirmations started. Sunday message in church, the pastor's whole message was about how we always pray to hear God's voice, but are we still brave enough that when we do hear it, to actually follow what he's telling us to do? So that was right in my face. And on scriptures, the rest of that week, every scripture was how each guy, because of his faith following God, everything came to pass. And on top of it all, one of our last milk pickups, we were in this stage, we were loading the cattle. The guy that did drove the milk truck, he came to the farm and asked me, God put something on his heart, can he maybe tell me something? Now, I honestly did not think the guy was a Christian, and very surprised, said, yeah, well, sure. And he told me that, and I always remember this sentence, Father God in Afrikaans is Father God, and I always remember that part for some reason. And he told me that Father God has put in his heart to tell me, stop walking around the mountain and go to the new city he has prepared. So like in verse 16, God said he has prepared a new city for me. So that was pretty straightforward. And the irony in that, this guy saying, stop walking around the mountain. Our farm's name is Bulberg. Translated, that means Bull Mountain, because we had a mountain right at the entrance of our farm. So this guy is telling me, stop walking around that mountain and go to the new city that you read God has already prepared for you. So now we are going. The worry of leaving mom and dad behind was never going to go away. So we were always scared about leaving them behind. Will they be okay? And one night me and Stefani was sitting in bed talking about, maybe we should leave this whole thing. Did we not misinterpret all the 15,000 signs? But maybe leaving mom and dad behind is not a good thing. And then in Matthew 29, I read that God says first, that in other scriptures we read that God told us first obey me, not people, do what I says. And then in Matthew 19:29, where he says, leave your father and mother, brothers and sisters behind, he will bless and guide us all the way. And that was literally just after we talked about maybe leaving this, the whole idea of coming to Canada. So once again, God out of scripture spoke to us, and he did way more than just bless and guide us all the way. The devil did not leave us alone though. We had a pretty devastating process. The first agents stole our money and disappeared. Paperwork was taking way longer than it should have. We waited about 6 months longer than was expected. First 10 months up in Canada, we started up north on a dairy farm. That was my ticket into Canada. And everything happened like we prayed for. Stefani and Shani settled in real quickly. We got a new chapter on our life going. And the only thing we did not consider and probably did not pray enough for was Mr. Happy-go-lucky myself to actually settle in. We were just worried about all the other stuff. And I went from a guy that usually the positivity I have sometimes irritates people, went to Mr. Negativity. Funny enough, with all this going on, I was working pretty much the whole time, double shifts, alone on the dairy farm, and I grew closer to God in that space. He picked me up daily from the smallest little things. I wrote down 1 year, a wild cow. There was a certain cow, number 13. And 13, for some reason, is my luckiest number. And that cow was everybody was literally afraid of that cow. It was a crazy, crazy, crazy cow. And he had a band on his neck, a responder, and we need to take that off. And nobody wants to get near the cow. And the guys just left, and I was stuck with this cow, and she's running around like a crazy cow. And I'm already in this dump. I hate the job. I do not want to be there anymore. And now I have to struggle with this crazy cow with my lucky number on his neck. And literally, Jesus must have known where my heart was at that stage. But the cow suddenly stopped running around, walked, and I'm really not overdoing the story. The cow walked towards me, put her head right against my neck, and stood dead still. I took the band off. As I took the band off, the cow started running again. So simple stuff like that always picked me up when I was at my lowest. Even in a bigger sense, we got the PR to get permanent residence in Canada to come down here quicker than I've ever heard anyone who got it. So big things and small things kept us going. After accepting the job down here, obviously I could not wait to just get away from there, come down here, get life going again, and starting to get almost a little bit arrogant because God is always talking to me through scripture now, everything's working out. I was waiting for the next part, but now I'm reading Genesis. And Genesis is all the stories you've heard from you've been so small. So how is God going to speak to me in Genesis? I know all these stories. And then in Genesis 31:42, where God is seeing how hard Jacob is working and how Laban is treating him, That's the part I'm reading. But God has seen my hardship and the toil of my hands, and last night he has rebuked you. So now, getting back to my positive self, I knew my time working for Laban is over now. Arriving in Coaldale, we found a small, very small house, what led us to meet a friendly guy shoveling our driveway, inviting us for supper, and invited us to a church family we desperately desire again. Big thanks to all of you making us feel welcome so soon. Do not ever underestimate how much a simple smile can mean to a family starting over in a new country, hanging on by just their faith of God. This is nice to read now, though I don't have to look at the people.
Yes.
That smile just might spark some hope again, and that God is working through you. From Gary and Johanna inviting us for lunch, looking us in the eye and saying they will pray for us, and just knowing that they meant it. To a simple hug of appreciation from Jenny when Stefani said she will help with Sunday school. All praise be to the one and only Jesus, and I cannot wait to see what is happening next on this wonderful, sometimes hard, but always exciting journey, because I know Jesus leads our way. I'm getting baptized today, not only to become a member of your church. I'm standing here as a guy who grew up with big patriotism towards his country, a very strong tradition, big camaraderie towards his family and friends, and unbelievable pride for my farm. Now, after having left all that behind, getting bigger patriotism than ever before towards God. My camaraderie is now with my fellow Christians, and unbelievable pride knowing that the one true King Jesus is my Savior. Thanks.
I was hoping to save the tears for later, but okay. Okay, phew, what a journey, hey? I haven't realized this, but I've never sat down and thought about or written down my testimony. It was such a great thing to do with Gary. He opened up great things in our hearts. And as I got quiet through the weeks writing this, there was just one word that stood out from all of the other, is how blessed I am. I feel utterly blessed every single day. Like Philip said, being 16,000 kilometers away from home and family, I still feel blessed. I have my bad days. I miss my family, I miss my friends, and then I would shut my door and cry like a baby. Afterwards, feeling pretty silly, because I'm thinking, how can you do that? You are so blessed. I've got friends in this church already, Johanna, Beverly, people that reached out, and the list keeps going. I've got friends from up north still calling. I've got a great family, a house to live in, peace, safety, things I always took for granted. So then I would be, why would you be crying? You have so much going for you. And then a friend from back home would say, you are crazy. How can you say you're blessed? Don't you miss your family? And I'm like, no, I'm not crazy. I am saved. And that is my testimony today. I've been saved. Through each blessing in my life, by the one and only God, I testify today that I've been saved. No, I don't have a specific date or time, and I did think about it, but as I mentioned to Gary, my testimony is a journey. It's happening to me every day, and I keep seeing it like God showing it to me. It has not been an easy journey, as you might think. If you can see me shaking, I've got some anxiety problems after the whole immigration process still. And I was not the positive person I am standing here today. I finally connected dots in my life like a puzzle that fell into place. But it wasn't this way. I used to be a total different person. Our Canada journey made me see the blessings, the other blessings I had in my life. Like the little picture you have of a bus, one person sitting this side and one person sitting this side, one looking out the window over beautiful green grass and the other just looking shut in a piece of rock. That's how life used to me. I used to see this negative picture all the time, and I was angry and negative. I'm the second of four kids out of a pretty dysfunctional family. I think we're just too many kids for mom and dad, not enough resources to feed us. And so my mother didn't like me very much. My father didn't really care. He was just around. My eldest brother left the house pretty much just after school. So, no support system. I felt quite alone. But here comes the first blessing I started to see. I never saw this, but I had the privilege, unbelievably, to grow up in a Christian home. Like Philip, I also believe in a triune God, that he died for my sins on the cross, that there's no other way to salvation as through him, and he's given us that through his grace. This had to come from somewhere. I was even baptized. I graduated from Sunday school, got my confirmation. So, pretty normal. And no, my parents didn't have a relationship with God. Yes, we always went to church. I remember the first Dutch Reformed church I went to. My dad at some point was a deacon there, but I've never seen them have a relationship with God. But still, I could say today that I have a church foundation, and we take that for granted. I've always had, not before I spoke to Gary about it. You would like, yes, we were in church, but it's nothing like this. So you always compare it to something better. But it was laid down. Even in all the chaos and me feeling all alone, I had a solid church foundation. There's lots of people that can't say that. And being in the whole church thing brings me to my second blessing was my grandmother. I always took her for granted, but she was always there. Thinking about this testimony, I realized that she was the one person in my life that I can say today was an example of a true Christian. She had this loud relationship with God. She would sing and she would talk to God anytime, teaching us prayers, reading out of the Bible. So I actually had someone. I wasn't alone and I wasn't unloved because God sent me someone. And I never used to see it this way. I always felt alone. I always felt neglected and always thinking, oh, couldn't my grandmother be my mother? You know, she cared so much. She spent time with us. But he did send me someone. There's so many people that's left all alone. So many people that doesn't ever hear about God. So, what a blessing. Much like Philip, I went through life thinking I'm a Christian. I read my Bible twice a day. I go to church whenever I can. I'm okay. But it took me quite a while to realize the true meaning of a relationship with God. And I didn't have that. He told you about the Bible study we started, and that changed so much for me in my own way, for him in his own way, but also for us together. And that's my third big blessing, is Philip. Don't make faces. I can't see you. before I met Philip, I was engaged to someone else. It was a few months already. that I got out of that bad relationship ended the engagement. I was in the process of moving back to the city I was born in, close to where he lived. And I met him. I should say I wasn't very interested in the beginning because, I wasn't ready for that yet. And I remember specifically praying to God, please, if the next one is not the one, please let it pass me by. I don't want to do this again. This was a big deal for me. So, but Philip was pretty persistent, and 10 months after we met, we were married, and the rest is history. But God blessed me with the most beautiful, loving friend, a courageous companion, someone very patient, which is totally the opposite of me. We come from complete different backgrounds, as you can hear, but God knew what I needed. He sent me someone that is anchored in Him, who has a wonderful relationship with Him and leads through example. What more can a woman and a little girl want? So God answered all my prayers when He sent me Philip and his family, a wonderful, loving, and very big extended family, just like I always wanted. So, yet again, God knew my heart. God blessed me over and over and over again. I cannot stop saying and thinking that. Even, like Philip said, we spent a few months, for me, 3 horrible months in New Zealand. I had a terrible time. I had a 5-month-old baby, and I would keep on talking to God and say, why would you let me do this? I missed my grandmother's funeral in that time. It just did not make sense to me. But I think the first week or two we got in Canada, I told Philip, this is why. God was preparing me for this. A much better, peaceful, safer life in Canada. This was the new me. And that is why Jeremiah 29:11, for I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future. That verse will always and forever be the promise that I need to remind me that I'm blessed, loved, and above all saved. Today, I, not my parents, choose to be baptized, choose to see God's plan for me, because He made me new. And seeing that it's Thanksgiving, I would like to thank especially Pastor Gary and his family and all of you for inviting and accepting and welcoming us in your family in Christ.
For all the talk of being very courageous, they did really well. And they are. They're on journey with God. And God is faithful. He leads and guides when we recognize how blessed we are and when we're just facing a struggle and when we don't know how blessed we are. And they are taking a step today. They're honoring what their parents chose. They were baptized as infants. And they want to be baptized upon confession of their faith today. And so we want to celebrate that with them. We'll go get ready and do that. The team will come and lead us in some music while we get ready for that. But I got to ask, we're all on journey. Is something today really solidified for you? Wow, I haven't been baptized yet. That's an act of obedience for every believer. Through the video, through their testimony, is there someone else here? Just meet me right over here. Me and Philip will go to that side. Meet me right over here just before I go get changed. And go, yeah, I would like to follow Jesus and live out of faith rather than fear too. That can be a possibility right here today. If you need to take that next step with God, then don't put it off. Let's find a way to move forward together. So I'm going to pray for them. We'll come and we'll sing. Lord Jesus, thank you for Philip. Thank you for Stefani and your faithfulness in their lives. When they intentionally pursued you, when they complacently a little bit pursued you, you have been faithful in it all, God, leading them, guiding them. And thank you for the journey they're on. Thank you for the blessing they've already been in our lives and in several other people's lives in this community. And you've brought them here for some purposes, God. One of them was to share their stories here today because we needed to hear it. We need to celebrate with them. We thank you for what you will continue to do in and through their lives, God. May all the praise and the glory and the honor go to you, Jesus. You alone are worthy. Amen.
All right, so as those three prepare for baptism, we're going to sing two songs that have been requested by Philip and Stefani, songs that have been meaningful to them during their personal journeys with the Lord. Amazing Grace and What a Friend We Have in Jesus. So let's stand together.
Needless pain we bear. All because we do not carry everything to God in prayer. Have we trials and temptations? Is there trouble anywhere? We should never be discouraged. Take it to the Lord in prayer. Can we find a friend so faithful who will all our sorrows share? Jesus knows our every weakness. Take it to the Lord in prayer. Are we weak and heavy laden, cumbered with the load of care? Precious Savior, still our refuge, take it to the Lord in prayer. Do your friends despise, forsake thee? Take it to the Lord in prayer. In his arms he'll take and shield thee. Thou wilt find a solace there.
You may be seated.
Excellent. Thanks for leading us in those songs. There is some powerful truths in there about relying on Christ, eh? I remember when I was baptized, I always feel like I'm 100 miles away from people way back in here. I came to Christ in the cold winter months, either January or February, and had trouble transitioning to following Christ because I hung around with a group of guys who had gone to church way longer than I had, but they didn't have an active relationship with Jesus. They just went to church. And so for me, I was looking for discipleship. I didn't think of going to the local church and saying, hey, can somebody disciple me, lead me on this journey? So not much changed in my life, and I was frustrated with that. The following August, I applied. I didn't hear I was accepted. I just drove down there and went to a year of Bible school. And during that year, because I didn't have that foundation of church, of God teaching through other people in my life, not near as solidly as Philip and Stefani did. But through that year, I really, wow, this is God's word. And he was commanding me as all believers to be baptized, and I become, how come I haven't been baptized yet? And it's an outward sign of an inner reality. What had already gone on in my heart when I bowed before Jesus and said, I'm done being manager of my own life. You be Lord of my life, and you, I need your forgiveness. I need your love. Would you lead me, and I'll follow wherever you lead. That had already happened. I had already done that, given Jesus my life, much like Philip and Stefani have. Through their church influences and others, people speaking into their lives, learning to discern the word, they've already surrendered their lives to Jesus. And God commands us, it's good for our journeys to be baptized. There's a couple of things that the church regularly celebrates. Baptism is a one-time thing, unless you're infant baptized. Baptism following conversion, after, post-conversion, saying, upon confession of faith, I want to be baptized. The other is communion. When we celebrate, here's what Jesus has done for us. We do that regularly, whatever those regular intervals are. Some churches do it every week, monthly, whatever. Regularly to bring us back, it's about what he has done, not what I'm doing, what I'm able to do, can do, have ever done. It's about what He has done and the forgiveness we have in Him alone. So just to clarify that, baptism is a picture, a clear picture, where we go down in the water. We're buried. We're died to ourselves. We're not leading our own lives anymore. And we're raised to newness in life. Like Stefani said, I'm not the same as I used to be. And she says, amen to that. Praise God. God's changed her. We've gone from death to life. We've all earned death, but He's rescued us from it if we receive Him as our Lord and Savior. And it's an active journey. So I'll invite Philip and Stefani in. It's a couple. Might as well be all in here together. Water's warm. We'll just sit in here and enjoy the water for a while. Whoa! Watch it. It's slippery.
I'm still on.
Don't slip.
Sorry, I could have come over and helped you both.
Now everybody's awake, huh?
No, that's right. Little, I'm glad you didn't get hurt. And so this is something, a way of celebrating, a way of having that picture a reality in our lives. And so we celebrate them. I'm really excited as I've gotten to meet with Philip and Stefani in these last few weeks, how their excitement has grown, both as an opportunity to say their testimonies, even though it creates some anxiety to be in front of all of you. Not because you're bad people, just because there's many of you. But they're excited to share the goodness of God and the amazing, the awesomeness of God in their lives, and to declare today they are His. And so I know we've already heard your testimony, but I'll ask you first. I'll baptize you first. But we've heard your testimony, but just to be clear, are you trusting in Jesus Christ alone for salvation of sins and for the promise of eternal abundant life?
Yes.
Yo. Yes. Yo.
Yo.
Excellent. Right on.
Definitely.
I'll have you come forward. It's a deep tank.
Yeah.
We're just little people in here, but He's a big God. So, Stefani, on confession of your faith in Jesus Christ, I now baptize you in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Woo! Give yourself a big hug. Right on. Congratulations. All right, Philip, moving forward. Spin her up, face that way.
This one?
Same question for you, Philip. Are you trusting in Jesus Christ alone as for your salvation and for the promise of eternal abundant life?
Definitely.
Excellent. Then on confession of faith, your profession of faith in Jesus, I now baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Woo! Right on, brother. Appreciate you guys. We can go get changed.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Let's continue to worship our amazing God through song. And we'll go get dry.